This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
To connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. I'm Holly from Community Waikato and have Fiona George with me in the studio. Welcome, Fiona.
Thank you, Holly. Great to be here.
George Consultancy.
That's correct.
We're going to find out all about what that is and how you work in with the community and social service sector. But let's start a little bit with your background first, and then we will start exploring the work you do, I suppose, building financial resilience for non-profit organisations.
That's great. Yes, I have a bit of a different story about how I came into this sector. I always say, for my sins, I used to be a bank manager and then thought I'd better redeem myself before it was too late. So I was living in Christchurch when we had the earthquakes down there, and
wow,
I saw the amazing work that was being done by community organisations. So I took the leap, decided to use my skills for good, and went and worked for a large international charity and ended up working in the bequest or gift and will sector. And absolutely loved it. You know, it's all about people and connection.
Yeah.
I did that for 10 years,
Still based in Christchurch at that time?
So I was in Christchurch, and then I had a break and went and worked in the UK, but went back into management over there, then came back to the role here, but based in the Waikato, which is where I'm from, so that was exciting.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I did eventually get headhunted by another large international charity and went and set up their bequest program. And realised that I could make a bigger difference by taking this knowledge out to community organisations, because I think that's where the change in society happens, is all these amazing community groups doing wonderful things. And the knowledge around bequests or gift and will isn't common knowledge, even with the large charities. There's not a lot of people who do it. So taking this knowledge out to the small community groups, your sports clubs, your churches, your schools, all of those sorts of things, that's where the significant funds are raised. And if you do a program properly, it increases the connection that your members or supporters or donors feel for you.
Yeah.
So, I have a real passion for it. It's not what I expected to have a passion for at this stage of my life, but I see the difference that it makes.
I mean, I can see a connection between the banking industry and then doing this work, right? It's about how do we make our resources work for people.
Exactly. And with gifts and wills, people quite often get a bit worried. They think, oh, it's talking about death and money. I don't want to be talking about that. But for me, it's not about that. It's about connection and recognition. And what are the things that have brought people hope or joy during their lifetime that they want to see carry on after them?
Yeah, I mean, I really like that. That makes a lot of sense. So you were down in Christchurch during the earthquakes, which would have been a time that many of us can't even imagine.
Yes, it was a very different time. I was terrified of earthquakes prior to them. I think we had 14,000 by the time I left and went to the UK. And we did develop a very useless skill, but it did help us. Whereas there'd be an earthquake, and once it had stopped, everyone would look at each other and go, oh, I think that was a 4.8, 5Ks deep out Darfur way. And it was a bit scary how accurate you got.
Wow. Yeah, I bet. You said that at that time you saw a lot of that sort of mobilisation from grassroots community. Do you want to talk a little bit about what you were seeing there?
It was amazing. I mean, that was really the start of the student army as well.
Yes.
You know, that Sam started that up and they did amazing things. There was the farmers' army that came out.
I haven't heard of that, actually.
Yes. Yeah, they all had the army thing. And, of course, the Salvation Army were all over things. You know, Red Cross were down there. But the community groups that really got stuck in. So you had a lot of farmers who lived out of town, obviously, and weren't affected in the same way with buildings coming down. They still had damage, but, you know, generally they were okay. The wives were baking and doing all of those things because a lot of us didn't have electricity in the city for weeks on end. And the farmers were coming in and clearing liquefaction, which was, it's that really just hard to explain what liquefaction is, but it was horrendous.
It kind of reminds me, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, of, you know, when you've got, is it baking soda, baking powder, and you add water and you shake it and it becomes, it's liquid when you slowly put your finger into it, but if you touch it hard, it's firm.
Exactly, and it's all the things that have been shaken loose as it comes up through the ground. And it's like cluggy mud, but it can be waist deep in places.
Wow.
And the problem with it is when it dries, it becomes
like concrete.
Like concrete, but it also has a really nasty dust that gets blown. Oh. Of course, we're the nor'wester winds in Canterbury, and it would blow it everywhere. And so, it wasn't a fun time.
No.
But we saw the best come out in people really quickly.
And a crisis certainly does that, doesn't it? It does pull out the best in people. And interesting, if you're in the banking space, did banking services continue at that time?
We did, and it was quite different because my branch, and I was incredibly lucky because people were killed outside my branch.
Wow.
And I would have been walking under the facades that came down to get to a manager's meeting, but I happened to be ill that day and I'd stayed home.
Wow. Those scary moments of reflection, right?
It is. And it was the same with my sons. They were had both just left places where it would have been tragic for them to be there. So,
wow.
And Christchurch is a small city, Hamilton.
Yeah.
Everyone knows someone who was lost.
Yeah.
So it was a very, very different time, and operating through constant aftershocks. People don't realise what that does to your adrenaline levels.
Well, it's a trauma, right? And be constantly triggering.
It was. So people that had traumas in the past, just that constant adrenaline overload was triggering those feelings again.
And it takes quite a long time to remove adrenaline from your body. So you're just stacking it, right?
You do. And when you've had a big earthquake and you've got aftershocks happening every 20 minutes, you don't have time for your adrenaline to come down.
Not at all.
So and it was different. I went from my branch being closed because it was in the red zone to looking after a branch out of the city, but my team was spread everywhere.
Yeah.
So I was looking after my teams at various locations plus the branch. So it was a really interesting time.
I can imagine it. And I can see how that would have inspired you as well to think, how is it that we contribute or create a world based on that sort of generosity, right? And focusing on the things that are important. You know, so I love how you were describing that earlier.
Yes, and I'd been doing more in the community and I'd wanted to do more in that space.
So what had you been doing?
So financial literacy was a big thing for me because knowledge is power.
Yes.
And so I would run financial literacy classes for people. And one of the local low decile schools had found out I was doing it. And so they'd rung up and said, oh, would you come up and teach some sort of 15, 16-year-olds? And I was like, yeah, that would be great. You know, when do you want to book in? And they said, oh, in an hour. We've got a teacher that's cancelled. So that was great. I had an hour to get up there and adapt it from, you know, your 25, 30, 40-year-old people down to 15, 16-year-olds, but I was excited about that because I could give them knowledge to hopefully keep them out of trouble.
Yes,
when they got to 18 and started getting offered credit cards and loans.
That's right. That's the fence at the top of the cliff, right?
It is.
So, I mean, that still so much need for that work now.
There is.
Did you go out to this, the community organisation, the international community organisation, did you go out seeking that or was it one of those serendipitous occasions? Or
that's funny, I was going to say it was serendipitous. I saw an ad for this role and thought, okay, this would be a great organisation. I could see how I could help. Hadn't realised to what extent it was when it was, they said, wills and bequests.
Mm.
And I thought it was more behind the scenes thing. So I went to the interview and went, interesting job, but oh gosh, no, I don't want to be talking about death and money to people. This is really awkward. Left, and then some other things were happening in my life, and they rung me and offered me the job a couple of weeks later, just after something else had happened, I went, you know, why not?
Yeah.
And jumped into it. And it was one of those moves where you look back and go, gosh, I was so lucky I took that opportunity. Yeah, absolutely loved it and was lucky enough to work with someone who'd been in that space for over 20 years,
oh,
who'd
great.
Been a lawyer.
Yeah.
Is still my mentor to this day.
Yeah.
You know, he's a huge person. So
that's I think we all need that, right? The right mentor, you know,
we do.
Especially in something new, because that is I can see the similarities, but still, what a big shift.
It really was.
Yeah.
But for me, what I loved and what I'd loved in banking was being able to help people change their lives.
Yeah.
And so this was about hearing about people's lives. You know, we go and talk to people, and it was finding out what it was that connected them to that organisation. So
yeah.
I was in a really privileged position that I got to hear some amazing stories of ordinary people that had had amazing lives and were contributing in different ways.
Oh, no, I love that. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about, you've now moved into your own consultancy, and we're going to talk about what you're doing there and how that connects to, or how that builds resilience for our community sector here in the Waikato.
Excellent.
So we're just going to listen to a little bit of Crowded House, Better Be Home Soon.
Somewhere deep inside, something's got a hold on you, and it's pushing me aside. See it stretch on forever, and I know I'm right for the first time in my life. That's why I tell you, you'd better be home soon. Stripping back the coats of lies and deception, back to nothingness, like a week in the desert. And I know I'm right for the first time in my life. That's why I tell you, you'd better be home soon. Don't say no.
House, Better Be Home Soon. Another classic song from the 80s, I believe. Is it?
I think it is.
I think it is. Anyway, here with Fiona George, talking about George Consultancy and the amazing bequest and will work that you do, but working with community organisations. So I think that this is quite unique, right? We don't have other consultancy firms doing these sorts of this sort of role? Can you tell us about what you do?
Yes, I'm not aware of anyone else in New Zealand doing it. As I said, even in the large international charity space, there's not a lot of people who specialise in it. So taking this knowledge out, what I'm doing is sharing the knowledge that I've developed over well over a decade working in this space. So I do a few different things. I can consult with and do the work for organisations that want to get a bequest program up and running, and I can get that all set up and going for them. But what I'm really passionate about is sharing the knowledge so that people can go and do it themselves.
Yeah.
So there's a few different things I do. The first is I do free work, masterclasses. So I've just been really brave and taken those online and you know, got over the fear that technology will fail me and I look really silly.
Yeah.
But that's been really popular. So what it is people can come along to a masterclass. They don't have to pay anything for it. But they get an understanding of what is involved in bequests and why it works for their organisations. And then if they're wanting to be able to do it themselves, I have half-day workshops that people can come along to. And it goes through why bequests work, all the data behind that, bequest psychology, because that's quite different to other fundraising psychology, and then different approaches you can use, because there are direct approaches or there are soft approaches, and there's a lot of different ways you can structure it. And with bequest fundraising, it is the only fundraising I'm aware of that you cannot say thank you after the fact.
Yeah.
So you need to actually have a recognition program and honour people while they're here. So we go through how to set those up, what you need to be doing, and then they come away with a smart plan of what they need to do to get started. And I follow up with them. They send me that smart plan and I follow up with them a couple of weeks later and just see where they're going. And what was really exciting is the last workshop I did, every single one of them had hit the ground running the next day.
Wow.
And had got things started. So that felt really good.
You know, this is quite critical at the moment, and I'm sure many of our usual program listeners from community social service sector are aware of how difficult the funding environment at the moment is. And I would hazard a guess that most of us don't have a bequest program in place.
No, not many places do. And it's been really interesting because I do have some councils that do use me to run the workshops for them because they're aware that the grants programs aren't sustainable.
Yes.
They've got 50% less money to play with in the first place, and they have up to 200% more people applying, which means the pool's effectively 25% of what it was just a few years ago. So people need to be looking at how do they come self-sufficient.
Yeah, that's right.
And an average bequest is $80,000. So, you know, that sort of money means you don't need to be going for grants every single year if you're bringing in bequests.
Yeah, that's right. And that's quite a significant funding. Most funding applications don't pull in anything close to $80,000, right?
No.
Yeah, so that is fantastic. So you talked about a master's class, which is online. How often do you run those?
I'm trying to run those monthly now, doing the master classes, just because of the demand for them.
And so if people want to sign up for that, how do they go about getting in touch and getting into that?
They can go onto my website, which is just www.georgeconsultancy.co.nz, and you can just email me through that portal, and I do put up the workshops, so I will start getting much better about getting the masterclasses and workshops up there a lot earlier. I'm just setting the dates going forward.
And it sounds like it would be quite useful to attend one of the masterclass workshops before then enrolling in like a half day, which does have a fee, but that makes some sense. So you know, you get a sense of what it is it's all about before then you sign up to actually learn the tools, the nuts and bolts. Is that a way to describe it?
It is. It's, you know, you come away with the toolkit of all of the things that you need to do, resources you can access, and the networking that goes on within the workshop is really amazing. I love those light bulb moments where you see people seeing things that are going to work for themselves, but also how they can work with other organisations that are on the class.
So. So you did say that you can do that work for them as well.
Yes.
Could you talk me through what that looks like?
So I do have some organisations that just do not have the capacity staff-wise
totally.
To have someone do this, or no one that wants to have those conversations, because if we're raising gifts and wills, we need to know the language and we need to be comfortable so that we can keep that conversation comfortable for the other party. So with some, it's actually quite a few organisations I'm working with, sports clubs, small charities, churches and schools, setting things up for them. So we create bespoke programs, so it works for what works for them.
Yeah.
And so I do all the setting up behind the scenes. I advise them on the other things that they need to do that I don't do, like the different things that they need in their collateral. I can put it together for them.
Yeah.
But then they get their graphics person to go and put it together and make it pretty, because I'm the ideas person.
Yes.
I'm not artistic. My stick figures look ill. So I stay very much in my lane. I never give legal or financial advice. That's not my role.
Yes.
But in the in the workshop, I do have an investment advisor who comes along and goes, these are some of the things you can think about once the money starts coming in, because the clubs in Australia that I know of, because Australia is a bit ahead of us with this, are bringing in $1 million every year per club.
Wow.
So there is the money out there.
Yeah.
It's just us knowing how to ask.
Yes. You know,
and offer it as a solution.
Absolutely. I mean, that's really quite exciting. I wanted to turn to Wills Month, which is coming up very shortly. So September is not far away, right?
No.
Tell me about what Wills Month is and why this is important.
So Wills Month is very important because only 50% of adults in New Zealand who should have a will do have a will.
Really?
And so, yeah, which is really scary, because if you have over $15,000 in assets, which includes your KiwiSaver,
yes,
if you die without a will, it's considered intestate. So your will, because you don't have one, has to be decided what's going to happen with your assets through the High Court. So it's not District Court, it's High Court. High Court costs, High Court processes, when at a time when your loved ones should actually be grieving and remembering you, not running around all over town trying to sort out the mess that's been left behind. So yes, I always say, if you have anyone or anything you care about, get a will written. Through my banking days, I saw the mess that was left when people didn't have a will.
Oh, I bet.
And, that's, been really hard to be able to think about the fact that that would have been a much easier time for the family if that person had just written their will. And the number of people I spoke to in my banking days that were like, oh, but if I write a will, I'll die.
Oh, that's interesting.
And having to say, sorry,
superstition
this is
doesn't really
get it.
Because everyone who's written a will doesn't immediately die, right?
No, but facing our immortality is really hard.
It is hard.
It really is. So being able to say to people, you will spend more time stressing about writing a will than actually having done it.
Yeah.
You don't think about it again. And so with Wills Month, it's encouraging people to write their wills and just thinking about all of the things that are associated with that, power of attorney and executors. So you will see a lot of advertising. A lot of the large charities bombard radio, TV, social media, newspapers with their, consider leaving a gift in your will to us. So the smaller community groups can actually leverage off that.
Absolutely. For those listening thinking, oh, it's expensive to write a will, you actually don't need a lawyer for a will either.
No.
There are online templates, right?
There are online templates. You can buy will kits.
Yes.
But also it isn't as expensive as you think to get a will written. So if you have property or you have blended families and things like that, it does pay,
I think,
personally.
Anything complicated, I'd talk to a lawyer,
Because then you're making sure that what you want actually happens.
But if you've just got KiwiSaver, and if that's that's your asset, then an online will would work for you as well.
I would think so, but again, I don't give legal advice, but that's where Yes, and you can have a look on the KiwiSaver website and things
Sorted,
like that as well.
Sorted
has got some really good information because I have heard stories about how hard it is to get KiwiSaver money out if you don't have a will.
Yes.
So it really is something that everyone should get done.
It makes
And then
it,
forget about it. Put it in the drawer, it's done.
Yeah. No, absolutely. We've only got about 4 or 5 minutes to go.
Yep.
So I just wanted to come back a little bit to tying in Wills Month then with what it is you're doing, and because it's not a lot of time, but it feels like now is a really opportune time for organisations to connect with you to be prepared for September, right?
It really is. You know, getting that messaging out there, learning how to word things so that they actually put the message across in the right way, because as I say, there
is
a specific language.
Yeah, and it can be hard to have that conversation, as you said before. So yeah, finding the right words is critical.
It is, because I mean, we have 500 euphemisms to avoid saying the word died.
So it's
really interesting. But yeah, with organisations, thinking about things like in New Zealand, between $160 and $200 million goes out every year in gifts and wills.
Wow.
And if more community groups had more of a slice of that, I think that's where the change in the world happens.
Oh, I completely agree. When is your next masterclass online? Do you have the dates?
Yes, the 8th of August I'm going to do one, so that's just next week. So
So how do you cap numbers of people who can join online for that?
Not with the masterclass,
right?
Which is good because it's online. And I do run some in person in Hamilton. I've just got to set up more dates and venues for that.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant.
I've got a workshop on the 6th in Norton. So that's, I think there's only 2 spaces left on that one.
So you're going to have to rush if you've listened to this and thought we just need to get in and do this and be prepared in time for Wills Month, and it does feel really timely. It feels like that is the opportunity to start leveraging, or at least doing the real thinking around it and having the conversation. So very timely. So let's go back to how they get in touch with you.
So if they go to my website, which is georgeconsultancy.co.nz, and my email's really easy because it's Fiona@georgeconsultancy.co.nz. I would love to talk to people and see how we can turn things around and create financial sustainability and increase the connection that your supporters feel for you.
We often talk about the value or the need for diversified revenue streams, and we know various grants is one, membership fees is another. You know, there are 7 different streams we talk about, and one of them is bequests, and it's just an area we do not leverage.
No.
So I love that you're doing this work and you're thinking about it, but you're providing a pathway for other community groups to do that as well. It is marvellous.
And the big thing is, it's my organisation, so I teach people how to do everything ethically, because that's what's really important to me. You know, it needs to be heartfelt and it needs to be donor-centric.
And, I mean, it's a perfect place to end on as well. Thank you so much for joining us, Fiona, and look forward to watching how it goes and seeing our sector thrive.
Wonderful to be here. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.